As soon as the house was paid for, the flow of excess funds stopped, and it remained dried up until there was need for it again. In the years of living this life of faith, I have never known God's care to fail. We have a Dutch phrase to describe the conditions of old Wim's house when Corrie and I moved in. We call such a place lived out. The floors were sagging, the plaster peeling, the roof rotting away, all the ills native to the polderland. But Corrie and I loved it all the more. As we mended and rebuilt, the house became uniquely ours. The only room dry enough to sleep in at first was the parlour, so there we lived while we scraped walls and painted and replaced rotten boards, and of course started a garden. We did all the work ourselves, so it was a slow process. It was 5 years before the home that Corrie had seen on that first visit was visible in its entirety to other eyes as well. And meanwhile the work grew ever larger. That first year after Hjoppi's birth, I revisited every country I could get back into, several of them more than once. And as the work grew, so did the problems. Correspondence was number one. Each time I got home, instead of reaching first for my hammer and paintbrush, I would go up to my little study — Corrie had been right, the desk did just fit — and spend miserable days pecking out answers with two fingers on an ancient portable to a mountain of mail. I never reached the bottom of the pile before it was time to set out again. Anonymity was becoming a problem too. If I kept using my real name when I spoke, wouldn't I jeopardize my freedom to come and go across borders? I finally reached a working solution that still is only partially satisfactory. I stopped using my full name, and began instead to use the name by which I was known behind the curtain, where last names have almost ceased to exist among Christians. Brother Andrew. For an address, I took out a post office box number in my brother Ben's hometown that served for inquiries about the work. It was a compromise. I knew that anyone who wanted to could learn who I was. But of all the difficulties posed by the expanding work, the one that seemed to offer least solution was the matter of the ever-increasing time away from home. Travel was one thing for a bachelor, quite another for a married man with a child. Out of Hjoppi's first 12 months, I missed 8. The first tooth, the first word, the first step. I heard about them rather than saw them. Shortly after Hjoppi was born, Mr. Ringers reminded me of his standing offer of a job at the factory, at a salary that to us sounded kingly. Later that year I was offered the pastorate of a church in The Hague. I was truly tempted, both times. But I was never tempted for long. Just as the pressures became strongest to stay home, a letter would arrive. It would bear no return address. It would often have been mailed weeks earlier, and sometimes show signs of having been opened.